another episode of Chatty Broads with Becca and Jess.
Well, hello there, broads.
Ding, 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 ding.
Isn't that like a classic, well, yeah, like, that's like, like in a 50s wedding scene, yeah? When they're like coming down the steps. What's with that? Rice getting thrown at them.
Da, 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 da. Oh, that's a good thing to start off with. Wedding songs. Would you ever actually want the wedding march at your wedding?
I could do it. I love a good twist on something classic.
I feel like, I'm like, if anybody I know could make the wedding march cool, I feel like you could walk down the aisle to the wedding march and like, and you would do it in some cool way, and I'd be like, wow, this slaps.
Or honestly, I'd go so fucking classic where we'd be in a crazy church with a huge pipe organ, and it would literally be someone pounding away on the organ.
Me.
Playing the wedding march. Yeah.
Damn. I'll have my phantom mask on, and like halfway through the wedding, I'll just be like,
giant sleeve, like bell sleeves. I like that could actually be kind of cool.
That would actually be very cool. It would be, yeah, I feel like.
And then I descend from the roof. Emerge you from the
finally,
middle.
You finally have your bachelor moment where you wanted to scale, like come off
no,
the side
I'm
of the
picturing
building.
Like in like some weird movie, you know, like
Moulin Rouge, how then
yes,
she comes
I'm coming down
in
like
swing.
A circle thing, yeah, with like there's flowers all around it and I'm just all posed on it like.
You yeah. Don't tell Gray his
Christian
facial expression.
Lines in. Oh yeah, that'd be great.
You guys both try to shock each other. You come down in the swing looking wild and he's in a full LARPing costume and you guys are both like, oh, this is not what we planned.
There's like two different flash mobs that are colliding accidentally with the bridesmaids and the groomsmen.
The flash mob turns into a full war. They're just like fighting each other. It just becomes a full altercation.
Sounds like a movie, like a food fight at the reception or something, you know?
Oh, a flash mob at a wedding? That's going to be a hard pass for me. I told Evan that if he ever proposed to me with a flash mob, and God bless if you like that, if that's something you enjoy, great. If your partner wants to do that, I told him if he ever did something like that, I would immediately say no. I don't care how much I love him. I'm like, you clearly don't know me.
Grayson told me recently he was planning a flash mob. And he started laughing maniacally because he like knew I did.
But I feel like if he did it to you, it would be hilarious because he would sure know that him. You would just be like, you're just like fully serious and there's full people just doing the Charleston just like around you and you're just like
hired people. It's you and Evan. Literally, I think he wanted to plan with like all the family and friends and I was just like, no, oh my God.
I'm trying to think what show that was from when all of a sudden everyone starts singing to the person. And oh, it's no. Like, it's like we all, it's like an original song or like a classic song and each person sings a different verse and like you're in the middle and I'm like randomly walking out and I'm just like, for all the
me. My God.
That's coming out.
That would be horrible.
I'm going to help.
But I appreciate the effort.
I'm going to help Gray plan it and I'm going to just only suggest one thing and I'll be like, you need to take Becca out a romantic, like, you know, stroll on the beach, a romantic dinner anywhere, and all of a sudden walks out Jed playing the guitar.
That would be insane.
That would be
that
pretty
would,
legendary.
I would be so confused. Like, I just wouldn't. I would be like, is this some sort of a fever dream? Like
is Jed here to confront me? Is this a confrontation?
I would be just so. I would probably in the moment forget what Jed was from. Like I probably would just be like so.
Yeah,
confused.
Because it's so. It would be so random. It would be one of those things where you're looking at him. You're like, I know him, and I'm like, is he a friend of ours?
Yeah,
like,
I would just.
Who is
yeah,
this?
I would be so. Is he a famous singer? Like I would be really confused
oh
for like
God.
Probably a solid 30 seconds. You know what's funny is like
Patreon content.
Patreon content. What's so funny is in high school, I always wanted some really crazy gesture for like prom or formal.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wanted something over the top ridiculous, like a blimp or something.
Of course, so that you can brag about it to everyone too.
Oh yeah, and it's just a story. You live for a story. But yeah. Then now with an engagement, I'm just like, I don't want some crazy over the top gesture. It's too cringe.
I feel like
it's too real.
And the thing with prom too, I was always okay with the idea of like an elaborate prom thing because I always figured there wouldn't be tons of people there.
Oh no, I wanted tons of people there. Like
oh,
I remember,
you wanted everyone.
I remember so I in okay, we're not gonna let this segue into a prom discussion, but I just have to say real quick. Mm-hmm. I invited two different guys to, there was two different dances. Actually three, but two guys I invited to Sadie's each year for junior and senior year. I invited a guy to Sadie's I didn't know, but like had a, some type of interest in.
Yeah. So we love that.
The first time I popped out of a box and then, and then on like the auditorium stage, like during lunch, popped out of a big box.
You were
with
the
bow
original
on my
box
head.
Guy. You were in there for weeks.
And then the second one, I like showed up in someone's class with all of us like dressed up like cats. Yeah.
Wow.
I was dressed.
It's all very connected to the current season of The Bachelorette.
And I said, well, you go to Sadie's with Meow. Yeah. But I liked the, I like the big, because it's so ridiculous. It's stupid. It's
yeah,
for, it's
yeah,
for Sadie's
it's
or
fun.
Prom.
It's exciting. I was always very upset at Evan because after he graduated. And so then I was like, I was a senior who had a boyfriend who was in college. And I really, really wanted him to do something elaborate at the high school so that like everyone was like, oh, your college boyfriend is
yeah,
doing something.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't. He still pays.
Every day of his life.
Every single day.
How did Evan propose to you? A beach thing, right?
Mm-hmm. And then he had like a full setup on the other side of the beach.
Cute.
Because like the sun had set. And so he set up like torches and food. And it was like very romantic. And it was no one was on the beach at all. So it was like, and then we took a bottle of champagne and got a little wild, and we're like walking down the beach on the way back and like choosing which house would be ours yeah. one day. And like,
okay, I have to ask you something and I yeah. need to know if any other broads feel this way. Mm-hmm. Do you ever get romantic anxiety?
1000%. To this day, I've been with Evan for like 15 years and I will still get romantic anxiety.
I don't know if it will ever go away, but mm-hmm. like a romantic gesture or a romantic dinner or anything that's supposed to be romantic.
Yeah.
Like you describing that just like made me
I was so nervous.
Feel really anxious.
I was really nervous until we like sat down and started to eat and then it was okay. But it was, oh no, I was so anxious. I was very anxious about the proposal because I knew it was coming and I was in complete anxiety.
Like it almost, I don't know how to describe the feeling, but it almost makes me want to cry for the person because I'm like, you're being so sweet.
I know,
and it's kind
I
of
know.
Like sweet, sad in a way. Like, I don't know how else to describe
I
it.
I think that's why the wedding gave me so much anxiety because I was having to act romantic in front of a ton of people.
Oh,
so I think that's why I was so anxious about it because I'm like, I am so in love with him, but I also feel like I'm acting right
oh
now.
Oh my God. Having to say that, like I'm in love with, oh my God. It just, it's anxiety. Yeah. I don't want to have to say like, oh, I'm so in love with him.
No, still to this day. Every once in a while I'll have a moment where like we'll be at like a really like romantic dinner and Evan will look deeply into my eyes and say something like very romantic and I will freeze and I'll just be like, how is this still happening?
It's
right
almost
now?
Like you're looking down on yourself like you're not yeah. even in, and it's like you're almost seeing it without being able to be emotionally involved in it.
Yes. Completely. I'll feel the pressure
of
like
experience.
I should be getting teary-eyed right now and yes! the tears aren't coming, even though if I feel so deep in my heart and I so appreciate it.
Oh yeah, it feels like exactly it feels like you're acting. Yeah. Oh yeah. My gosh.
No, I completely feel that way.
Like rose petals on a bed or something like that. It's like
yeah. Then there's the there's pressure then.
You're
I like
oh,
I like organic
evening to remember.
I appreciate organic romance.
Right, like some, yes, like we were talking about with the best kind of dates of these, the kind of just like whimsical things that just happen.
Yeah. You know, what I don't hate at all is the idea of a guy who is planning on like, let's just say someone is planning on proposing and they are like, I'm just going to keep the ring in my pocket whenever we go out. So when I'm feeling the moment, I propose. Like, I like that idea.
That's a great idea. Tell Grayson that.
Okay.
A really good idea.
Just be like, just keep it in. You're always just like feeling his pants. He's like, man, she's been grabbing my ass a lot recently. You're just like, when you're kissing. Like, is the
keep it in an envelope so you keep even more on my toes so
ooh,
I don't see any boxes.
Yeah,
in your
very
pocket.
Nice. Yeah, I feel like that would make me feel very comfortable
I
to
like
have
that.
This like real in the moment proposal.
That's a cool idea. Or like you keep it. Nope, never mind. That's a liability. I was gonna say keep it in your glove compartment or something in your car.
Oh yeah, for sure. I thought you were gonna say like keep it in your ass.
No, keep it in. Yeah, keep it in your asshole. So we got a bunch of questions.
Yes. After our wedding do's and don'ts episode, you broads sent us a bunch of questions. Actually, the questions were sent before. So some of them we've actually answered already that you sent. Look at us go.
Mm-hmm.
Look at us go. All right, broads, let's take a quick pause. Listen, as long as I've been on my own, I felt like this big internal dilemma when it comes to grocery shopping. I want to buy good quality organic items, but I also don't want to go broke. I mean, seriously, set me loose in a specialty grocery market and I could easily rack up like a bill 3 or 4 times what it should be for the amount of food that I grab. But I know I'm not alone here. For so many people, shopping for better for you ingredients and organic produce is just out of the question, but not anymore thanks to Thrive Market.
Thrive Market's an online membership-based market on a mission to make healthy living easy and affordable for everyone. So it works like this. You sign up for a Thrive Market membership, and once you're in, you instantly have access to thousands of healthy products with amazing savings. So we're talking about everything from pantry essentials to sustainable meats and seafood, to non-toxic cleaning and beauty products, snacks, so much more. And there's even a feature that lets you shop by specific dietary values like keto, non-GMO, vegan, and fair trade. I personally like to pick up pantry staples like oats and broths at Thrive Market because they're so much less expensive than they would be at the grocery store. Like on my last purchase alone on Thrive, actually, I saved $22.
Heck yes, and not that you need another reason to love Thrive Market, but we will give you one anyway. Thrive Market is not only good for you, but it is also good for the planet. All orders are shipped for free with their carbon neutral shipping from their zero waste warehouses. They've really thought of everything.
Go to thrivemarket.com/chatty. Join today to get $20 off your first order and a free gift. That's T-H-R-I-V-E market.com/chatty to get $20 off your first order and a free gift. thrivemarket.com/chatty.
Oh, broads, has it been hot out? Okay, seeing a lot of you posting about heat waves this last week and then some of the weekends have included, thank goodness, my favorite beverage to help cool me down. And that is Juneshine. P.S. Talking about wedding receptions over here. You gotta get some Juneshine at your summer weddings. Your guests will love you forever.
Oh my gosh, that's a great idea.
Right?
Imagine having like ice buckets full of Juneshine.
I mean,
it's the best antidote to the open bar dilemma.
That's on God.
Anyway, Juneshine hard kombucha. It's the most delicious, better for you alcohol around. I've tried some other hard kombuchas. I'm not gonna lie, wasn't a fan of them. But Juneshine is different. You can really tell in the taste. They use only organic ingredients that actually have functional benefits. Juneshine's low in sugar, it's easy on the gut, it's gluten-free, and it's full of probiotics.
What I do know is that when I drink it, I always have a super light, bright buzz and never get that gross just feeling of a sugar crash.
Ugh,
just a that I do when I drink other alcoholic beverages. It's the hottest drink of the summer, broads. You heard it here first. So many good flavors too. It's one of those drinks that when I'm with a friend or family member who's never tried it before, I get giddy when I tell them about it and I get to be there watching their first sip, knowing they're going to fall in love.
Wow.
What a gift.
We worked out an exclusive deal for the Chatty Broads listeners. Two broads, you're going to receive 20% off plus free shipping site-wide. We recommend trying one of their best-selling variety packs. It's a great way to try all of their delicious flavors. Just go to juneshine.com/chatty or use code chatty at checkout to claim the deal. That's juneshine.com/chatty. Juneshine can also be found in over 10,000 stores across the country, including Whole Foods, Safeway, Kroger, and Publix. Okay, so we have a few different categories. We have wedding guests questions, which we went over a lot last week. We got bachelor and bachelorette party questions. Love that. Wedding party questions, engagement questions, like which we were just covering. Honeymoon questions.
Ooh.
Lots of others. So
should we talk engagement since we're speaking about engagements?
Yeah,
right,
we
now?
Should.
Okay. One of the questions is how much should you spend on an engagement
ring? Isn't the age old thing like three months salary?
I mean,
depending on how much you make a month, that could be.
That's wild.
A lot.
Do you know that I was talking to a guy the other day who is planning on proposing to his girl, and I was like, do you want to like propose to me? He's like, I would propose today, but I don't have the money for the ring. And I'm like, well, how much are you planning on spending? He's like, well, between like $30,000 and $50,000 is like the average. And this is
the
not
average?
Yes.
That is not the average.
I yelled at him and this is not someone who is like wealthy. Okay. And I go, my guy,
no, the average engagement ring cost is $5,000.
Yeah. And I go, my guy. And he was like telling people that this is like the average. And I was like, nobody listen, please, because that's not true. That is so much money. And I'm like, the amount of pressure that you're putting on yourself. I'm like, who are you asking? Turns out the people that he's asking that he happens to be close friends with are loaded. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe for them, that's like a drop in the hat. But like for the rest of us, that's madness.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. Now, I will say this, like, obviously, I wouldn't say I'm a super materialistic person, although I do want a large antique diamond. Mm. I think that investing like around $1,500 for an engagement ring, you know, if you're not making bank, I think that that's great, because I do think investing a little bit, like a couple thousand dollars in a ring, does show that you did put forethought into it. And that you're serious about this commitment. I think that it is like a gesture. It is supposedly something you're going to wear for the rest of your life. I think that that's just nice to show that, like, you know, I really thought about this. Yeah. And like, I put my money where my mouth is.
Sure. Absolutely. I think, yeah. And I think it's also something too, that is something that people can get weird about talking about with the person that you might want to marry. I think you should talk about it, because honestly, some people don't give a shit about a ring. And then you're putting forth all this money into something that someone doesn't really care about. Like, I agree with you. I think if you are going to go about the tradition of an engagement ring, then a couple thousand dollars is nice.
Yeah. I will say, if someone does have, like, if they're rolling with like a 10K a month salary, I'm not saying that they have to spend like $30,000, but I think that's something that does reflect your personal budget.
Yes.
Is a nice gesture.
For sure. And yeah, if you're loaded, then sure. Then that's also a different thing too. If like you can just throw around cash and then all of a sudden you don't spend like anything on an engagement ring for me, I feel a little offended.
However, I guess it is a little bit, is an antiquated thing. I was going to say, like, I guess as a man, it's sort of like you're traditionally supposed to prove that you have something to offer, like monetarily, to take care of someone. That is a little bit outdated in terms of gender roles, but I do think it is still nice, in my opinion.
It's nice. And that's why I'm saying, like, I think communication is always important with it, right? Because like you might have someone who's like, I don't want you to spend that much money. It's our money now.
I'd rather spend that money on a honeymoon or whatever. Get me a goddamn ring from Claire's.
Exactly. It's like your guys' finances are about to be merged together, and maybe your partner doesn't want you spending a lot on a ring.
Well, this begs the question then. What do you think about a totally surprise proposal? Like, we're talking, you guys haven't, you know, because a lot of people, they talk about, like, do you want to get married, like, one day? Is that something you're interested in? You know, because
there is something very romantic about a complete surprise proposal, but also
horrifying,
and also the most terrifying. Man, that's tough, because I do think that that's, again,
it's like talking about, oh, engagement ring cost ruins it.
For sure. Yeah, no, coming. Then you know it's coming. I think it depends on the person. And I think that's when we talked about this in the last episode. It's just like the nuance in knowing someone.
Now, I had no idea when Gray was going to propose to me the first time.
Oh, yeah, that came out of nowhere.
I was very shocked. I was mostly shocked, because I was like, motherfucker, we haven't been wanted to be together this entire time. What the hell are you talking about getting married? What? I was very confused.
But
by now, that.
But so you're going to be able to have a surprise proposal and a planned proposal. Yes. You get both.
Well, I hope that I'm very surprised for the actual proposal.
You know, we'll make sure that that happens.
Thank you. Thank you. I just don't want it to be like on the podcast.
Don't worry, I won't do that to you.
Thank you.
I'll just hold him up in a FaceTime in the middle of one of the episodes, a Bachelor recap, and he'll propose. The ideal length of an engagement. Okay, I feel like the ideal length of an engagement is very much determined on what type of wedding you want, right? Yeah. Because weddings, if you want more of an elaborate wedding, or if you have a lot of people coming to your wedding, weddings take so long to plan and they're very stressful, that like I would say, if you're having a decent sized wedding, I mean, not even anything over the top, I would say at least 6 months because,
yeah, I agree.
You know, you want to.
Well, unless you're having like 15 guests. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. If you're going to have a small, if it's like, hey, we're just going to maybe do a little courthouse, then I'm like,
who cares? Get married tomorrow.
Well, yeah, do it. Like, I'm all about that shit. But if you're having a
traditional wedding,
traditional, like, in traditionally, like,
basically, it depends on what services you need. Are you getting a venue? Are you getting flowers? Are you getting catering? Are
you're
getting
gonna need at least 6 months for that if you don't want it to be psychotically stressful. And if you are having an elaborate wedding, honey, do a year. Like, straight up. If you have, like, if you're the type of person who are like, I've always wanted to get married at the Plaza and I will only get married at the Plaza, well, then you better have a year-long engagement because that shit is booked out.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing too, a year goes by in a flash. And obviously you're planning, hopefully with a planner, as Jess said last week, you're going to be planning all of this on top of all your normal life obligations. Like, this is going to be something you're going to be doing things on the weekends.
Unless you're
evenings.
Marrying a prince or a princess, unless you're becoming part of the royal family, you will have your continued job that's happening. And it won't be just about the wedding. Mm-hmm. So you're doing this on weekends and at nights, and it's a lot. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. Or if you're the type of person who has, like, who is obsessed and loves the idea of a wedding and you've been dreaming of your wedding, I say give yourself a year too, because you're going to want to really enjoy the process. Like,
true.
You don't want to cram, you know, your wedding dress, food tasting, cake tasting, venue shopping into like a short window and have it happen super fast. Like, if you've been really looking forward to this a lot of your life, like, enjoy the
process.
Now,
that's one thing I won't be doing, like a cake tasting or a food tasting. I'm like, Oh, come on.
With our planner, I did not do a cake tasting. I like literally cake, just I said, like, I was like, I'm like, just do like a vanilla flavor. And then one small, we did get a little separate cake for Evan that I had quietly made that was spice cake because his family for celebrations only ever make spice cake. It's a very strange tradition that they have. So I thought that that was
cute.
A little thing on the side. But I did do the food tasting, even though I like didn't want to.
I want an ice cream
truck. But it was delicious, so that was nice. Oh, an ice cream truck.
I want like an In-N-Out truck, an ice cream truck. Like, I just want to make sure everyone has fun.
Now, if you do the vendors, you got to make sure that your planner is dialed in with them. Because I've been to a wedding once.
Oh, no.
Oh, Lord. The ceremony was in one location. We all got then to the reception venue. And the planner had not, like, perfectly, like, the truck was not waiting there already. And so we were waiting 3 hours for the food. And in the meantime, we only had alcohol. So let me tell you, we got all a little rowdy. And it wasn't the type of...
wasn't fun.
It wasn't the crowd. The bride and groom were not the type who were looking for a rowdy wedding, but we were all so hungry, so everyone just kind of we were just drinking.
You're like, give me a Bloody Mary for some extra calories. I need them.
No, straight up. There was only
olives.
There was only like almonds on the side, and so I was eating the almonds, and then at one point I went to the bartender. I'm like, do you have like any like orange rinds that I can gnaw? And I'm like, I'm getting nauseous. My blood sugar. Yeah.
Why is it always shit like that that happens during weddings? Geez.
Brutal.
I want a Ferris wheel at my wedding, too.
Oh, my God. Your wedding's going to be so much fun.
I'm going to be so stressed the whole time making sure everyone has fun, but I've accepted it at this point.
I think that you just got to let it go. You just got to be like,
I'll be in control of everything and I'll be miserable, but I'll accept it.
Okay. But if you have, like, maybe you hire two planners.
Maybe I have three planners.
Maybe you have five or six. Maybe we can get
I have handlers.
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, maybe we get Becca a handler and we make sure that the handler
My handler's like, shut up, take this drink. It's not one of my friends, because I'll tell my friends to shut up. You. It'll be a handler. I'll be like, okay.
Someone you've never met before. Yeah. You're like, okay, sorry. I mean, but if you got a Ferris wheel, you got an ice cream truck, like, people are happy. If there's food and there's good music, and fun. If your guests would like some drinks and the drinks are there, everyone's having a good time.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I want to see good photos for my wedding. I want to see people in front of Ferris wheels like it's the fucking Coachella weekend.
I mean, a good photo booth is, in my opinion, a good investment. People live for a photo booth.
That is a good one to, like, even if you're a smaller budget wedding, if you're going to, like, splurge on one thing, I feel like having a cute little activity like that is great.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the cash, you can always put out on Craigslist a little ad of, like, I know that there's people who are always trying to get their photo booth starting, and you'd be like, hey, like, we only have this much money, but, like, we'll post about it. Even if you don't have a big social media platform, like, they can use you the photos from your wedding on their website. People are always looking.
You can also hire like someone's cousin and buy like a $50 backdrop and just borrow someone's DSLR. Mm-hmm. And then upload all the photos to like a Pixie set or Dropbox that people can access.
Even
after the wedding.
Even Polaroids, those are fun. You can take them as little wedding
disposable
gifts.
Cameras on the wedding tables. Love. That's a fun one.
That's a really good idea. That's always nice. Those are so fun to look through at the end, because you can only as the person getting married, you can only really engage with so many people for so much time. So it's fun to see all of your guests having fun. What if you got the photos back and everyone looks depressed?
Everyone's just like,
it's just like
glass of water in hand.
Any
other engagement questions?
How soon is too soon to get engaged?
That's so relative.
So relative. You know, you meet the people who meet and the next day they're engaged. They've been married for 50 years. And then you meet some people who were engaged for 5 years and the marriage lasted for a week.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very relative. Yeah. So do what you want to do in that department.
Next question. Did you guys do premarital counseling?
Yes.
You say that like you look embarrassed. I think we will be doing premarital counseling. Like, not necessarily like through a church or anything, but
I think that premarital counseling is actually an excellent idea if you have a very good counselor or therapist who is walking you through it.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, all of a sudden when, again, you're merging finances, that's a big one.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the biggest one. You can also talk about, you know, things that are pet peeves that maybe you wouldn't be comfortable, like, now, hey, like, it kind of bugs me when this happens. And I do think premarital counseling is different if you've been living with the person versus if you haven't. If you haven't, I think it's an absolute must. If you've been living with the person, I think it's, you know, a little more 50-50. But if you haven't been living with the person, I think having a third party involved before you move in is important.
Yeah, and you don't necessarily have to do a premarital counseling thing like through a church or something. You can like commit to 8 weeks of couples counseling or something, couples therapy.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like, you get a great therapist, get a great counselor.
Now, that is actually a really good thing to have people pool in for. That's such a funny idea. That's actually a good idea for like a bridal shower or wedding gift. Ask people to pool money into a couples therapy fund.
For real though, that's
kind of hilarious and kind of great.
That's practical. Should we go off of this? We had a question about registries. So if you don't know,
we're in two camps here. I already know we are in two camps because you mentioned your stance.
So, I mean, briefly, so a registry, if you don't know, when you're getting married, a lot of people traditionally will sign up for a registry, which includes, you know, it's what it typically looks like is a couple.
Everyone knows what a registry is, right? Like the baby registry.
Yeah. But a couple going and, you know, picking out cups and dishes and whatever they want. And then, you know, either for the bridal shower or for the wedding, people
now
will
bring
the gifts.
Online. You know, people have Amazon wish lists, registries, stuff like that.
Yes.
So go state, no, you state your opinion. Go ahead. Okay. I'm about to refute every single one of your points.
Okay. What I experienced with my registry is I picked out the things that I really liked, and I would say 50% of the people got me what I wanted, and 50% of the people got me what they wanted to get me.
Oh, so they didn't buy something off the registry.
Correct. And I think that happens often, at least a lot of my friends have experienced, where people just ignore the registry and they just give you what they want to give you. And so if I were to do this again, I would definitely have, I would have a wedding website, and I would probably just have like a cash situation, like a fund.
Oh, okay.
So it'd be like, hey, and even if you want to have it so that people feel like they are part of something. Like you could have your honeymoon fund, you could have your furniture fund, and people can send money to, you know, whatever piece they want to donate to. Because I feel like people then are still going to bring the gifts that they want to bring. That type of person is still going to bring yes. the gifts that they want to bring. But then at least like you can take the money that you have and decide, okay, like what are we going to put it towards, so that you don't end up like me with a bunch of random shit that doesn't like. I mean, I had like a couple things here and there. Like I had like two cups, like five plates. Everyone ended up wanting to get the china for some reason for us. So I have the fanciest shit that I don't actually use.
They didn't put return slips.
Yeah, they had it, and I could, yeah. But you know, your girl is not great at returning, so I just sat with it and complained about that nobody sent me. So I would definitely, I'm all about wedding website. I've had friends who then did that after, and I felt like people were actually super generous. And they were able to walk away with basically buying what they needed to buy or what they wanted to put
okay,
the money towards.
Okay, so I'm totally with you on that. The only thing is like you said, I feel like the people that disregard the registry are the same kind of people who are going to disregard the cash fund.
Sure. I would just rather than have the cash and then be able to be like, because...
And then discern, like you said, when someone buys you two blenders and you don't have to return one, you can just keep the blender from the person who didn't see the registry.
Exactly.
And then you get the cash from the other person who would have bought you the blender.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, you had originally, I thought you were saying when we had talked off the air, I thought you were saying that like you thought just like, oh, let people get you what they want to get you.
Oh, absolutely not.
I was like, what the
no,
fuck is that?
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not.
Okay, we're on the same page.
I ended up with some of the wildest stuff. Like, people love to get you something that they, especially, God bless some of the older people, like to get you something that they think that you would like. On one of our, like, invites or whatever, had a peacock, like a peacock feather in the invite. So all the older individuals got us everything themed peacock.
Oh.
And that is absolutely not what we wanted our house to look like. And so I just had peacock paintings. I had peacock statues. I had peacock stationery. I mean, it was intense.
Yeah, I do think, see, because you've got two choices, right? Because you either put the registry and you get stuff, or you say, like, on the invitation, like, no gifts, please, in large bold font, and then just say, for more information, like, visit our website. That way people can see the donation fund. You can't be like, in lieu of gifts, bring cash, because it's tacky as fuck. I mean,
sure.
You could do that. You could. More
you
power
could,
to you.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you have the balls
ballsy
to do it, yeah,
I would not.
It, yeah.
But, you know, that would be my thing, is just put very large font, no gifts, please. Like, for more information, visit our website.
That's nice.
If you would like to contribute, like, to a fund... To yes. a honeymoon fund. If you would like to contribute to our honeymoon fund, visit our website.
I like that. That's a very good
way.
It's a classy way. And it also then takes off the gift pressure so that people feel like they don't have to.
I mean, we did the same thing with, you know, with Ruth when we had a baby shower. We put very clearly, like, in lieu of gifts, like, please bring a children's book.
Yeah,
you know?
Was a very cute idea.
And we didn't get shit we didn't want, you know?
That's very true. And you had then got an extensive library.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those things. Sometimes we got doubles of some books, whatever. I kept those on hand and gave them as gifts to other people who were having baby showers.
That's
you
a
know?
Very good
it's
idea.
Like, it was easy to
idea.
Deal with, like, the doubles of the books and the
yeah.
books.
Yeah, it's yeah. The registry is a funny one, because people do. People really, they give you what they want to give you. And
also, some people have registries where they put doubles of things. You know what I mean? Like, they'll say this dish set and this dish set. And mm-hmm. then you run the risk of people getting you both dish sets. Like,
well, and I think I didn't probably do our registry very well. Mm-hmm. I was very overwhelmed with the registry. I was just wandering around and just... It was like, what's that one? There's like a movie where
yes,
she's just
I know,
randomly
I
like,
know.
Like just scanning. You have a scanner when you do a registry, and she's just
do that
scanning.
Anymore.
And I couldn't
sad?
Remember. I was like, I don't fucking know. And at the time when I did it, they didn't. I think now you have like a pad, so you're seeing, like, you have the list in front of you. I didn't have that. So then I'm scanning, And so I'm just kind of scanning everything. And afterwards, and I'm going through it. And I was kind of like burnt out. And I'm like, I don't know. I guess this would work. I'm so not an interior designer that I'm like, I guess this stuff will work together. I don't really know.
Yeah. And now, you know, I guess a lot of couples are living together before marriage. So they probably don't need like.
Yeah.
When we get married, we won't need anything.
That's the thing. It's like, so what would be nice would be, you know, honeymoon potentially.
Babysitting fund. That's a cute one.
That's a really good one.
If you have kids.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that's a very good one. But yeah,
mortgage fund.
That's the important shit. I like the therapy fund.
Couples
therapy.
I
think there's numerous things that are feel like. What do you put on your
website? Like mortgage fund, honeymoon fund, couples therapy fund,
divorce lawyer fund.
You pick your poison.
That would actually be really funny. I feel like people would get a good giggle, and I love that. I think that's fun.
Yeah. Okay. Back to the questions.
Back to the questions.
Okay. Let's just talk about budget in general, because enough people, like you were saying earlier, people do not talk enough about money stuff.
Yeah.
And let's just be real. Everyone has different budgets. It's a little taboo. So let's get into it. People are asking, how much should you spend total? What's the one wedding thing you should splurge on? What should you cut out of the budget? You said last week, didn't you say the one thing that people should splurge on? And I can't remember what it's. Planner. You said planner.
I say a planner.
But then, of course, with the planner, then you have to have the things for the planner to
Very
plan.
Very true. Like I said, I think if you have a planner, if you have good music, which you can put together yourself and have like even a friend play, like have someone be in charge of that. And even if
the,
like...
The most important elements is sort of what you're getting at.
Ambiance, right? So like... comfortable environment, so people maybe aren't too hot or too cold. I feel like you can probably pull that off, even if you're doing it in someone's home. You could do it at a friend's house in the backyard, you know. Good music.
Are we wedding planners?
I don't know. Drinks and some food. And even if, again, if it's minimal food, if it's like you want to even do like an afternoon, so there's just appetizers, or like a late night, so there's just desserts, just give people a heads up on the invitation.
And straight up, yes, I agree. If you're going to, if I guess it sounds cheap to be like, there's not going to be any food at the reception, but if people can, or be like appetizers only or drinks, there's only drinks available.
Just make it clear that you're afterwards, just say when you have it in the invite, just say reception to follow with drinks and appetizers.
Or yeah, with drinks.
Yeah, you don't even have to say that you're going to have appetizers, and then you can surprise them with some appetizers. They'll make
sure to come not
hungry.
They'll
make sure that they have food.
Well, and I think
they do a quick drive-thru on the way from the ceremony to the reception.
I am an eater. I need food to keep my morale up, my stamina up for any event, occasion, anything. I need food. So to me, when I go to a wedding, the one thing I care about is, do they have food? Now, I'm not picky. And so I really think for a wedding, hear me out, you could do it in a very cute, classy way. And this is also where a good wedding planner can come in. A good wedding planner can find ways to snip costs and come up with cheap, cute ideas. So that's the thing. This is what they do.
They know the people that can maybe give you a little bit of a deal. Yeah. They know the vibe that's important. And if you come in saying like, listen, I don't have a huge budget, but I think you want to... What's most important about the wedding is you want to have a special day. And I can just tell you, maybe this is just me, but I would say the biggest factor in having a special day is that you're relaxed and that the energy around you is positive. So if people are having fun and you're relaxed, you're going to have a good time.
And here's what I was going to say, even is with the food, you can keep it simple where, I know this sounds crazy, but you could order a bunch of Domino's pizzas with different toppings. No one will be mad. No. And just get cute little glass elevated, like, you know what they put cakes on?
Yes.
Put different heights of those on a table.
Yes.
With cute little serving knives, and everyone will be happy.
Everyone will be happy. Oh, I completely agree with you.
Also,
you can make that type of stuff super cute.
In my opinion, another thing, if you're going to spend some money on it, if you can afford it, for rentals, my personal opinion is rent, you know, if you're going to rent tables and chairs, which most people have to, also spend a little extra money to rent the right tablecloths and rent chair covers. Mm. That's just my opinion. With plastic folding chairs, I think it elevates the whole look rent chair covers. Again, small cost, but I think that really like elevates the whole look of it. Even if you do just have like pizzas on serving trays.
Also a way that you can even then, like, I feel like you can get around making your wedding, if you don't have much of a budget, to make it look fancier, is choose to have a wedding where the reception portion will be, it'll be dark outside. So if you do it in the back, in a friend's back backyard, you put up some twinkle lights and you put a bunch of candles out. And it automatically makes it romantic. You light up
the whole backyard.
People can't even really see what the furniture looks like.
Everyone's running.
Everyone is. It's a full. It's an arson situation. It's madness. No, yeah,
or fire pits.
Yeah,
imagine if you had fire pits placed around for people to sit around.
Beautiful. And it's like, and that ambiance just creates an ambiance and an energy that feels super romantic, and then you have nice music playing, and you can, and that could be minimal budget.
Blankets around fire, a fire pit.
The details that don't have to be, that don't have to cost. Mm-hmm. You can have that, that could be your dessert. You could just have a tray next to the fire pit with s'more options, right? You do cute little s'mores, and you do cute little like warm alcoholic beverages, like a little hot cocoa station. That doesn't cost a lot.
For drinks, you don't need a bar. You can, you could probably rent them at party places too, those big glass jugs. In fact, at Costco, they're like $30.
Yep.
Fill them up with some vodka and lemonade and ice in one. Mm-hmm. You know, whiskey and Coke and another, and have just little mixed drinks on tap.
So cute. Easy.
We are wedding planners.
Fuck this podcast. I'm quitting.
We think we have all the ideas. Now, personally, I am the granddaughter of wedding planners and florists.
Yes.
So I love the flowers. That's really important to me. But I think a good workaround of that too is just getting like wildflowers.
Yeah.
Not like you have to necessarily go out in a field and chop them up, but I think that there's really cheap flower options, like little daisies or baby's breath that look really elegant, eucalyptus branches that don't cost a fortune.
Yes, absolutely. Like, yeah, there's definitely floral pieces that don't have to, you know, you're picking something, first of all, that's in season or something that is less expensive like
pampas
that.
Grass is really in style right now, so that's a great inexpensive centerpiece. Yes. That's not gonna beautiful. Not gonna wilt.
Moss, you know.
Honestly, I love it. That sounds really creative.
I mean, I you know, I don't know, like a
goldfish
big,
on the table for each guest.
Just a trunk of a tree.
Cats. I personally always like a fun activity. Like you were saying, a photo booth is a really great one. Mm-hmm. But cornhole, a ping pong table.
Yep. People love that.
A giant Connect Four thing. Jenga. If you could just even set up a little game station.
Yeah, like, people love that. It gives people something to do. People are drinking and talking and laughing and like having a great time. Again, it's the energy. So if you have just a smidgey of ambiance, mm-hmm. which I feel like then makes everyone feel relaxed and at ease, and some good music, which relaxes people. So it's not, make sure that the music is not too quiet so that like, you know, like that there people don't walk in who don't know each other. And it's like feels dead silent walking in. Make sure before your guests come that your music is playing. So even when the first guest arrives,
I was going to say that music the entire time. Don't have entire a dead time, silent moment.
No
of the night.
Pause, not a single.
So if you're making your playlist, you got to have like mingling music.
Yeah.
Speech background music.
Honestly, have hours worth of a playlist, put some work into the playlist, and then have that thing on fucking
Spotify,
repeat.
Spotify, they probably have whole wedding playlists, wedding playlists on lock.
Yeah.
You don't even have to do much work.
And create what ambience you want. If you want a party ambiance, then you have a fun playlist. If you want a romantic, you can get a beautiful, like classical music playing. If you want to have it seem like you have a super fancy wedding and you don't have a budget, and you just have some candles and twinkly lights, like in a dark backyard, and you have classical music playing with some fire pits, are you kidding me? What a vibe.
Make a theme, make everyone wear, you know, some color.
Yeah. Oh yes, love that.
Make everyone wear like champagne or
yes,
off-white or something.
Yes, a masquerade. I always wanted like a masquerade wedding.
A masquerade.
You must be fully masked.
I'm thinking if we're
time.
Doing a New Year's Eve, we'll do, I want like a black and white dressed theme.
You send me an invite to a black tie wedding, I'm soaking wet.
You're going to be showing up. You're going to have like one white glove and one black glove.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Your hair is going to be like Cruella de Vil.
I'm like, I'm a black tie wedding. Sign
I said black and
up.
White wedding, but it could also be I'm black also, tie. I, black, and black tie, black and white wedding.
Either way. A
theme. Do you think we should throw in
champagne
color? Or
that's fun. That's fun
too. Deviating too much. People might interpret that as like a rose gold, which, you know.
Maybe the only people wearing champagne are the bridal party and you know, the family could even be told that champagne is an option. So then you all stick out. All right, broads, one other quick pause. Let me just say what everyone else has probably thought at some point in their adult life. Getting mail is really not as fun as I thought it would be when I was a kid. The only things I ever get are bills or junk mail, which is why when I do get something I'm actually looking forward to, it makes it so much sweeter. And my favorite package to receive, obviously, without a doubt, is FabFitFun. Seriously, broads, when it gets delivered, it is like a mini Christmas for me, no matter what month it is. If you don't know what FabFitFun is, let us break it down for you.
Okay, seriously, if you have been on the fence about signing up, consider this your sign, because this season's box is one of the best. Mm-hmm. When you become a FabFitFun member, you're going to get super specially curated seasonal boxes of full-sized, yes, not sample-sized, beauty, wellness, and home goods products, plus so much more, like deals up to 70% off some of the most loved products, early access to limited add-ons, and the best and newest perk, for members only, your seasonal box is now 100% customizable.
I totally agree with you. This new summer box is probably one of the best ones I've ever received. The theme is all things summer fun, and let me tell you, there are some goodies in there. Everything you need for a perfect day at the beach or pool, lots of good summer skin products, even some great items to help elevate the outdoor barbecue experience that you're planning.
Love it. Order your summer box today. Sign up now so you can snag amazing products like the Supergoop Unseen Sunscreen or the Corksicle 12-ounce wine tumbler when you customize. And right now, by visiting www.fabfitfun.com, you can receive all of this for 50% off. What? 50% off your first box?
Holy smokes.
Dude, that's such a good deal. Okay, anyway, use coupon code CHATTY again. Coupon code CHATTY for 50% off your first box at www.fabfitfun.com. Wow.
Wow, wow, wow. Broads, I am not at all too proud to admit that the stock market confuses the crap out of me.
Oh, really? You're not a stocks expert like me? Shocking.
I have to let you know that it's just not my expertise. Yeah, I'm really interested. Like, I really would like to learn more about it, build a portfolio perhaps, but then there's a good percentage that feels like this whole thing is made up when I read about it and I just don't understand anything that I'm reading.
Yeah.
And I know I'm not the only person that feels that way. I know this. The stock market feel exclusive and intimidating and downright confusing, but it really shouldn't be. And actually, when you use public.com, it doesn't have to be. Oh my goodness, public.com makes it so easy.
On public.com, you can invest any amount of money with confidence to start building your portfolio. And I do mean any amount of money, even just $1. So if grandma gives you $50 for Christmas, invest it on Public.
Oh, hello.
And it's really cool because it's sort of like a stock advisor mashed with a social media platform. So that means you can see what others in your feed are investing in. And you can learn why they're buying and trading. So you can learn so much more just from observing what everyone else is doing.
Yeah, it's so cool. They also do this thing called fractional investing. So you can get in on companies that you're actually really passionate about, which I love, without having the full purchase amount of a stock.
And that could be like thousands of dollars.
Yeah, exactly. And you get to invest in something that you love, like a company that you really love, right? It's exciting. You're like a little part of that company. And there are so many to choose from. Public.com has thousands of ways to grow your portfolio in a super easy to understand way.
Use code CHATTYBROADS when you download the app to let Public know you heard it on the podcast, and you'll get up to $50 in free stocks to start growing your portfolio. Wow. That's code CHATTYBROADS in the Public app to get $50 in free stock to start growing your portfolio. Valid for U.S. residents 18 and over, subject to account approval. See public.com/disclosures, not investment advice. Things to cut out that are unnecessary?
I mean, I personally, I just feel like there's a lot of, I don't have like a specific thing that's like coming to me off the top of my head, but it's just like the extra regalia that I feel like is unnecessary.
I think we did talk about also splurge on the wedding photographer, right?
Yeah.
I think that that's really one to invest in. I feel like if you get someone, I think you will only regret getting someone that's an unskilled photographer.
Yeah, the wedding photos are really important. That is something. But even, I mean, but even if like you have someone who's a friend who's like really good, a really good photographer, obviously people who are like professional wedding photographers have like that specific skill because it is a specific one.
Yes, but especially like at the reception and stuff like that. But you know, you could make up for that. But I will say I know some people who are really, they were really unhappy with their wedding photography. I would say look through this person's portfolio, make sure they are experienced in whatever it is you want. And maybe if anything, just get really good photos of the bridal party. This is important. When do you, I feel passionate about this?
Okay, go for it.
And it's difficult because sometimes people don't want to, the you know, the groom to see them in their dress before.
You're talking about the first look?
I'm talking about the photos.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have shit, this is my opinion, if you don't have shit queued up, if you don't have drinks and apps and music ready for the guests to linger, nothing is more shitty than waiting an hour and a half while they're doing fucking wedding photos with the bridal party while y'all are just standing around trying to make small talk with someone's dad.
Fully agree. One of my biggest regrets from our wedding is that we didn't do first look and take photos before the actual wedding. I think it also would have really eased my anxiety because we would have had a moment together. He sees me. We embrace, we're having fun with our friends. I feel like it would have changed the energy. Yeah, that I would have then been walking down the aisle. Everyone's smiling. Everyone's happy. We've all been interacting.
No one's waiting for you after the wedding. You don't have any obligations.
No, and then you have the fun too, where you're like, and you're looking prime for your
pictures. No, you're right. Your hair's not out of place. Right. You step out in photos.
Especially if like all of a sudden you're outside and there's like some wind or whatever. And then you're, listen, if you do the first look, you do the first look pictures, you keep your hair and makeup artist there. And if you're able to, you do the first look photos and you can quick hop into them and they can do a little touch up before you walk down the aisle.
I also think like a good way to, if you're only getting photos done for the bridal party, a good idea would be to assign all the bridesmaids and groomsmen a disposable camera and tell them you got to fill this thing up by the end of the night.
That's a great
idea. And that's their job. Because sometimes, you know, they sit on the tables. No one really uses them.
Yeah.
If you say like, this is your job, all of you guys get a disposable camera and you all have to fill that up by the end of the night.
That's a fun idea. And you know, the one stupid ass groomsman that you hate just takes 100 dick pics.
Yeah. Or of their
little
butt shots, you know, from the porta potty or whatever.
Exactly. No, that's very true. The first look, you know, the wedding that I officiated recently, they did a first look together, and we took all the wedding party photos beforehand. And my goodness, those first look photos. Talk about sob fest, because then they read their vows to each other.
That's
privately.
So sweet.
And they had the photographer just taking pictures, and everyone was standing back the wedding party far enough that like we weren't hearing their vows to each other. And the pictures turned out like unreal.
Ugh.
Because it was so emotional. And then they kept the makeup artist there, so then they got to just quick bop back, get the makeup retouched before the actual ceremony, and it was fantastic.
Wow, love that.
Love it, love it, love it.
I just saw a question, which we covered at the end of the last episode. Someone said, I think it's appropriate to kick someone out of your wedding for wearing white. Thoughts?
Wowzers.
Are you out of your goddamn mind? You're going to kick someone who you invited to your wedding out of the wedding for wearing white? What kind of narcissistic psychopath are you?
I really hope that you have another reason why you want to kick them out. Like, you can't stand them. You didn't want them there in the first place. They're like acting belligerently drunk.
You're like, no, if my friend shows up there like in a white gown, you better believe that she's fucking kicked out.
And honest to God, if you have that type of energy, then I will hope that what you do for your guests is maybe provide a couple extra dresses or suits that in case someone does that,
like
that you can be
school,
like here.
Like in school when you break dress
code,
exactly.
And they
have
and
the giveaway
like,
pile. They're like, yeah, take your pick. Like, which sweats do you want to wear?
You have an option. Here's a couple options. But
you can go home.
Your ass isn't wearing white. Like you can provide that for your guests. The details.
It's appropriate to kick someone out. What do you have? Bouncer at your wedding? You have
a
bouncer
for real.
Dragging people out?
Oh my Lord. I've been to some weddings that should have had bouncers. I will say that.
Oh, should have.
Yeah.
See, Gray and I were actually having this conversation in the car because like we talked about last week, the whole open bar situation. Yeah. Gray was like, well, you know, I probably, if we did have an open bar, I would give a clear guideline to the bartender and be like, you see someone, cut them off.
No, for sure, for sure. And I think that
we're just gonna have a bouncer standing next to my open bar.
For real, just be like,
He had a good idea too. Gray said like a set time, like,
yeah,
let's say the reception's from 6 to midnight. Mm-hmm. After the appetizers and food are provided, you have the open bar from like 7 to 9, like a 2-hour window.
Yeah.
Last call at 9.
Yes. I believe with our open bar, we said no shots, but
I like that.
But that didn't happen.
No,
no, because one of the groomsmen was just like, shots for everybody, and like talked the bartender into doing it. I'm like, I'm not gonna be mad. I was just more trying to be like, okay, I feel like maybe if we don't have shots available, that we'll be able to keep this in control. But the atmosphere of our reception after the speeches, we'll get to that. Too many.
Speeches?
Too many fucking speeches.
Okay, yeah.
After that, our atmosphere was, we had a wild party. Our DJ, he was so amazing, and the music was just like cranking, and it was like current hip hop and pop, and everyone was like getting down. Yeah, so like,
as it should
we
be.
Were burning off a lot of things. It was hectic. The lights were crazy. It felt like a club I was living.
I love it. Speeches.
Okay.
Give your thoughts.
Let's talk about a, you know, wedding party speech. I have a firm opinion that I will not allow for the mic to be passed around. Personally, I've been to some weddings
like around the wedding.
Well, it's I've been to numerous weddings where like there's a mic and then numerous people would be like, oh, I have something to say, like one of the grandparents or whatever.
Best friend's dad or something.
And it just, you're like, oh my God. And you're like cut to like 3 hours later. I mean, it's ridiculous. So that's something, again, something for a wedding planner to do where you say, hey, I want to keep the speeches to like a 15 minute segment. So don't let the mic get passed around.
I think an MC is kind of also good.
An MC is great. A lot of times you can have a DJ do both. Like our DJ was MCing and DJing.
Yeah.
The wedding speech, I say broads, 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 unless you live for wedding speeches, do not let anyone boss you around into letting them give a speech. Because I think a lot of times everyone wants to say something. All the parents want to say something. The friends want to say something.
No. I literally want everyone to give a speech at my wedding.
Oh, so you're into
the
speeches.
I'm going to be holding back. I want to hear what everyone has to say about
us. Okay.
But I will hold back for everyone else's.
Well, that's my thing. If you love it, then it's like, have it going. But for me,
I don't want to torture the guests.
For me, I'm like, I am tired already. I want to eat and drink and dance and talk to whoever I want to talk to. I don't want to do more sitting and staring at somebody.
Depends on the crowd too, because some people, everyone wants to give a sappy speech. Sometimes you got a whole bunch of jokesters and then you got a live comedy set going on.
That's
and
very
I live
true.
I live for that.
I love, and that's another tip. If you have been assigned to give a speech, you got to add comedy and be sentimental.
No pressure.
Take them on a roller coaster, baby. Oof, I've given a couple good speeches.
I love to give a speech.
When someone says, can you give a speech at my wedding? I'm like, abso-fucking-lutely. I will give you the best speech that I can muster. And I will work on that thing. I will put love and care into that speech because...
Do you memorize it or do you have a little note to go off of?
I mean, I memorize it, but I'll also typically like I'd have the phone or like a little note like next to me, just like with prompts. Little points. Yeah, you know,
three by five cards.
Yeah, just a quick little like shuffle through. I have brought a prop for one of my speeches. Felt pretty good about that.
A prop?
Yeah, because I had. So I talked to the wedding planner before, and I was like, at this point during my speech, I need you to bring this out. Because it was one of the speeches for my best friend. Her and I had lived together. And so we had bought a fish. We called it our love fish. And we were obsessed with this. And then this love fish died. We had a funeral for it. It was very dramatic. So I bought them a love fish for their wedding. So I was like, bring it out. And I like named it Corpy after whatever. It was a whole thing. But I was like, I'm going to take them all over the place with this thing. It didn't go as smoothly as I thought it was going to go, but the speech was good.
You thought you did something. You
I really did. Did. I really did. I was like, she's going to live
and then,
for this.
And then no one else is laughing in the audience because they're not in on your inside joke.
No one else knew anything. That's also another good one. If you're going to give a speech, make sure it's not all inside jokes. You want the crowd with you.
You're working the crowd, guys.
Make sure. And also, don't go long. Because you can have an incredible speech, but if you go too long, people are going to start getting bored. Him. Yeah. I mean, we're talking three, I would say 3 minutes.
Three was in my mind as well. Three is even pushing it. Dude saw 2.5.
2.5 is great. If you can get all of that in 2.5 minutes.
No, I guess that's not much. No, 100, that's like 150 seconds. That's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've had it at my wedding and at weddings I've been to before where like everyone wants to give a speech and some people aren't great at giving speeches and also some people go really long. And also, if it's your wedding, I would say don't put pressure on people who are terrified of public speaking to give a speech. Like, I know maybe traditionally it's like maid of honor gives the speech. But if your maid of honor is horrified of giving speeches, she won't be able to enjoy your wedding and she'll be so nervous the whole time. Just be like, do you want to give it or no? I don't take it personally. And then give it to maybe one of the other people in the wedding party who like
Are
super down to give a speech.
For the wedding speech structure, I personally suggest 45 minutes of sentimentality to start, 60 seconds of a funny anecdote, end it out, round it out with 45 seconds of sentimentality.
Love that. Absolutely love it. And
first, you start out the first 45 seconds with something about sentimentality about the bride, let's say if you're the girlfriend, 60 seconds of funny anecdote with the two of you or how when she first told you about meeting her guy.
Yes.
And then round out the last part with how beautiful they are as a couple.
Yes, you got to include the partner in too.
At the end.
At the very end, you got to include the partner and home run. Yes, you want everyone crying and laughing.
Yep.
Love a speech. When it's good, you remember the speech. Oh, also, if you're single, remember your speech could get you someone by the end of the night.
True.
Because I do not know how many weddings that I've been to when someone went up and if there's a guy who gave a funny but not trying too hard funny and then funny also touching, it was like there was a line following him around the wedding. So
love that.
Pro tip.
Now, we didn't talk about this last week, but the guys did. Had in one of their episodes, how to participate in bridal party or batch party / attend the wedding for a friend if you hate their partner.
This is very tough. If you hate the partner, I feel...
Now let's put... Yeah. How do you handle that?
I feel like... You, as a friend, you would have to communicate this numerous times to your friend beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would probably just give my, I would give my final oomph right before the bachelor or bachelorette party and be like, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable. I still have my fears about this, having seen such and such and such and such. But you know that I love you and I always want you to feel supported by me. So I want to celebrate you this week or this weekend or whatever. And I want you to know whatever you come to me with, like I'm here for you. And then I would just go.
Yeah. Cause I do feel like if you're trying to like take a stand and like, that's just kind of fucked up. Like you're not really being a good friend, even though it's being kind of selfish, honestly.
It's also like if you think the partner's toxic and then you tell your friend that you will not be attending because of that, you're isolating them and then they might not feel safe when they need you in the future. You know what I mean? I feel like you communicating that like you're going to be there for them, even if you don't agree with the choice, it's like, I love you, I support you, and I always want to be here for you and I want to celebrate you this weekend and make sure that you have the best time. Like, you know.
Okay. So off that note.
Uh-huh.
Rounding out the episode, a couple questions. I think we should talk about the bachelorette party.
Absolutely.
I want to start here. This is actually one of the last questions, but I like this. I want to dwell on this for a second. Good bachelor party ideas that don't involve a ton of drinking.
Okay.
Or that don't involve drinking, period.
Okay.
I've got tons.
Go for it.
Well, one of my friends, this is a funny thing. One of my friends for a bachelorette party, we were all scheming and we're like, you know, she's not a big drinker. Let's plan this and this. Well, long story short, we all ended up getting blacked out at like 9 p.m. and all ended up back in the house. So like things did not go as planned. But what we had ideas for.
But the intentions were there.
The intentions were good. We had an idea to go to like a late night bowling alley. That's was like fun. A really fun one, yeah. Where we like all dress up, obviously like a fancy dinner. I think we even had ideas to go to like a cabaret or something like that, which like you don't necessarily have to drink, but you guys can still all have fun.
A comedy show is fun.
Laser tag, if they're that kind of person. Oh,
that's fun. That's really fun. Yeah. I mean, I feel like
comedy show is a good idea.
I feel like,
but you have to usually buy drinks.
But they don't have to be alcoholic. Sure. You just have to have a 2-drink minimum. Yeah. But you could, you know, get soda pop. Yeah,
2 bottle waters, please.
But yeah, I feel like honestly, I feel like you can really do anything without drinking the same exact way if you're not just bar hopping. Yeah. And I know that a lot of times at night with a bachelor bachelorette party, people will bar hop, but instead of maybe bar hopping, you can like break up your dinner, right? So you can go to one place for appetizers, one place for the main course, a late night place for dessert. I don't know if someone's comfortable like going to a club, like you don't have to drink, you know, I still have a great time dancing and like having a good time if I'm not having any alcohol. Or even like, I don't know how your friend is with like a glamping situation. Ooh. You guys could glamp and like, you know, make it a little fancier than camping. I don't know. I feel like there's plenty of options. Mm-hmm. I think the most important part is that the person just make sure that they know that you are all being very sensitive to the fact that they're not a drinker and that they're not like maybe wanting their entire wedding party to get completely smashed when they haven't had anything to drink.
Yeah. And I think if they don't want to have anything wild or they don't want to do a drunken night, I think that also the antidote is to just, instead of doing a bachelorette night, you do a bachelorette day. So maybe if you are doing a weekend, or even just like, let's say you're just doing like one night away. You guys are all staying at a hotel or an Airbnb. You do a rom-com movie night where you do like cute 90s movies and you guys do popcorn and cute finger foods and like do girly stuff.
Yeah.
And then the next day you can do like a spa day. You guys can all get your nails done. Maybe, you know, you guys can do like cute day activities and go get like pampered. You can do a pampered spa bachelorette day.
I love that. I love that. That's a very good idea. I had a friend who we did the bachelorette party for her and she did not drink. And we went to Palm Springs and we laid out all day in the baking hot sun and we had a girl talk and chilled. And then at nighttime we went to dinner. And then afterwards we went to a like a karaoke spot. We had a great time and we were all singing and having fun and doing our thing. And I like the spa day a lot.
I think the cliche girly things are really fun. Even if you are like at the Airbnb, you can get like fun colors of nail polish and you could do like masks and
truth
you can do
dare.
Like little hair treatments. Exactly. Like bring a fun game.
Yeah.
I think that like if that person would be into that, I think doing like cliche fun sleepover girly night kind of things are really, really cute.
Yeah. You always, it feels cliche going into it, but there's a reason why it's cliche. It's because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw a question, thoughts on joint bachelor bachelorette parties.
I think it's, what I don't like, of course, is when someone's trying to just like spy on their partner the whole time because they don't trust them. That's a little toxic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the idea is really fun. Gray and I have thrown the idea around of doing like a weekend in Mexico and have it be like, we're all staying at the same resort. And then we all like one night go out together. And it's kind of like this,
fun.
The mixing of everyone together.
So like
together.
You have like times when you're alone and then times when you're together. That's super fun.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. I think what's the most important part about a joint bachelor bachelorette party is that it is 100% what both people want.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of joint bachelor bachelorette parties can be pushed by one partner who doesn't want the other one to have a bachelorette or bachelor party. I think if you're both in total agreement that you want to do that, that's great. I think you can rent an Airbnb out and have so much fun, especially if you all have like mutual friends in common, then that's super exciting. But I do think it's super important to like, you're about to get married. I do think it's really special to have time alone with your friends. So I love the idea if you are going to do it, what you were saying, where it's like there are moments together and then moments apart. I like being not even in the same Airbnb, being in the same hotel. Yeah. So it's like you can kind of like mingle. Like
in hallways.
You have a moment. Hey, we'll all meet together for a pool party at like 2. And then like you go and get ready, go to different dinners.
Yes.
Oh, that's fun.
That's kind of sexy. Yeah. Kind of exciting.
Yeah.
Also, I just had more sober ideas. Also, if your bride's not super girly or whatever, cliche girly, you could also do like shooting range.
Oh, that's
fun. You could go
fun.
Do something active.
Axe throwing.
Like, yeah, axe throwing. Go do like jet skis on a lake mm-hmm. or do like dune buggies. Like mm-hmm. there's some really fun things like
ooh,
that.
Ooh, a lake is fun.
Lake
do like a boat. Fun. Do like a boat bachelorette.
That's fun.
Go out on a boat.
Or even for a lower budget, you know, you guys could do, like I said, like laser tag or go do like mini golf and dress up and just like make it like, just make mm-hmm. it fun. Have a fun energy, you know.
Oh, totally.
That's what it's all about.
Totally. I mean, one of my favorite things that I always do with my girls is like go to just a new location, get cute and dressed up and just like window shop for like mm-hmm. hours. Yeah, like go too. To different stores and then go and get lunch and just, I don't know, just hang.
What if you even did a Walmart scavenger hunt where ooh. It was like a challenge where you had to like find all the bride's favorite things and
that's
everyone
fun.
Would be like, who knows her the best kind of thing.
That's really
kind of creative. And she could go pick out all of her favorite things and then you all compare like shopping baskets at the end and be like, who got the closest?
I like that a lot. Yeah, there are so many options. So many fun things to do.
Okay. Thoughts? I want to hear this, your opinion. Thoughts on the penis themes, bachelorette party / the strippers at the batch party.
Okay. Well, you know my thought on the penis
I can't remember.
Theme. Okay, like I'm personally not a huge fan of okay. it in excess.
Okay.
I am like, it's a dick. Great. I don't want it all over me. I don't uh-huh. want to wear anything that has a dick. Like, if we're going to do, you showed me one of the things that you do where you guys carved.
Yeah, it was a penis carving contest where you had to turn a squash into a penis.
That's fun. And that's fun to me. Like, okay, like a fun
it's
game.
Activity.
That's a fun game. Or if like you just, you want to do like, you know, penis
pin
cupcakes.
The penis on the whatever.
Yeah, or whatever. That's cute. That's fine. Or like literally just sparse, like in your drink, there's like an ice cube that looks like a penis. Great. I personally am not a fan of when people go out and are literally, they look like the fucking penis brigade and are wearing penis hats and penis, you know, sashes and all that stuff. It just is obnoxious looking to me. I'm sorry. That's not for me. I also have a specific outfit that I'm looking to wear and the penis is not the aesthetic that I'm looking for. I don't have one. I don't want one. Okay. So my bachelorette party, I specifically told my friends, I said, I do not want tons of penises everywhere, specifically when we're going out. They bought me penis stuff to wear when we were going out. And I said, I love you all, but I already told you I didn't want it. So if one of you wants to wear it, go for it. But I'm not wearing it. I don't want to be that person. I also was not the person to wear white going out.
I think you got to honor. Oh, we did it where we all wore black and she wore white.
Yeah, I'm
fun.
But again, this is very personal. When I see it, I think it's super cute out, but you know, I feel very strongly about like what I want to wear when I'm going
yes.
out.
Oh, yes,
so definitely. I'm just kind of like, everyone wear what like you feel the hottest in, and let's just look like as hot as humanly possible.
Yeah.
That's the vibe that
yeah,
I'm going
you're,
for.
The whole crew is going to be extremely obnoxious anyway. Everywhere you go, people are going to hate you. So you might
that's
as well
my
do
thing.
What
I'm
you
like,
know.
We're drawing so much negative attention anyways. Like I don't want people to be able to spot us easily.
Yes.
I want us to be able to sneak up. You know, what
yes.
What about you with the penis theme?
It's whatever. I think I will say, I think you should respect the bride's wishes because some
yeah.
people are very specific. Like Gray's had friends that said, like, I do not want you guys to get like a stripper. I don't want that.
Okay. Yes,
or, like,
the stripper
I do
too.
Not
yeah.
want penis stuff that I don't want that. Just respect that person. It's about them. It's not about you. But I'm like neutral about it. I think it's fun to have some elements. Like I remember at my friends, we had like penis necklaces and it was like whoever wanted to exactly was wearing it and, you
yeah.
know, so I had like 5 around my neck when we were going out because it's like goofy.
It's a fun option, but I think
if they're down with it.
I think it's yeah, it's all about the person who you're throwing the party for basically. And so I fully agree. Same thing with like with the stripper. It's like don't if the person who it's their bachelor party would like a stripper, great, go for it. if they don't want one and you all want one, do not surprise them with one because you might just be causing them severe stress.
I mean, I love a surprise male stripper moment. I would have loved to do that for my friend's bachelorette. She specifically said, I don't want that. And we were all like, you know how sometimes like someone's like, no, but you're like, okay,
yeah, we're just doing it anyways. Yeah.
But for her, I was like, this isn't going to be fun for her. So let's not.
No,
but
you don't want to push. It's their party.
Now, but I think it's fun.
Oh, I think it's so fun. I'm all about it. But again, it's just very dependent on who the person is.
Someone's awkward. Someone has their like sister-in-law there and they're doing, you know, like.
That's when potentially, you know, if you would like a stripper involved, then maybe the strip club is a better option because then people can leave if they don't want to be there, right? So if you have someone who's part of the wedding party who's not feeling like that's something that they are comfortable with, then if they don't want to go, they don't have to go, instead of maybe bringing someone in to the space.
And I think a strip club is a really fun option for all the girls to go to because you guys are all going to get a bunch of attention. You know, like all the girls working there are going to have fun giving you guys a good time.
Yeah.
Bring lots of dollar bills. Like, that's pretty fun.
Yeah. I'm into that. If you go, make sure that you are paying.
Yeah.
For the love. Don't be going in there being cheap if you're going to do it.
Although the girls are usually the ones to get away with it too. So that's the thing. That's probably like one of the least, actually, that's probably one of the places where you will be the most liked when you go out in a group, I will say. Most other places, like I said, everyone's going to hate you there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But if you go to a strip club, everyone's going to be like, oh my God, you're the bride. I'm going to give you a free lap dance. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be a fun thing. Ooh, this is a good one because it kind of goes along with the other questions. How to plan a bachelorette party for my mom, who's 65, who's getting remarried after divorcing and a long time being single.
Oh, sweet. That's very special. It again, very much depends on how your mom is. Who is your mom? Is your mom, does she like to party? Is she the one who wants to go out? And like, does she want you to shock her? You know, I personally, like, I know my mother would not want me to shock her, but I have other friends whose parents would be like, oh my God, how fun. Like, be like, oh my God, this is so exciting. I'm out with like the young girls and whatever. And like, you know, you're maybe bringing some of her friends and they're getting a good laugh from you being younger and wild and whatever. But I think a fun time always with mom would be like a little getaway, maybe like an hour or two away from where you live.
It was like a winery.
Well, that's great. If you live locally here, you could take her to Temecula, do a fun little wine tour. Also, I feel like a spa day is always fun. I think that's a good one for a mama. I feel like anything, make sure that you have a moment where, whether you're out at, you know, dinner or wherever, where you make her feel super special. I'm sure that, I know as a mother, I would love that. Like, that maybe you put together like a cute little, like, you know, either like a video thing with like all of her friends, cute, or you talking about how much you love her, or like a little scrapbook or something like that.
Yeah, or something special where you guys do like those flyaway lanterns or something, and everyone writes a wish for the bride and you release it, or like, you know, release something out into the water and do like a cute little ritual where everyone can participate and like send her off with blessings.
Yes, like, to make her feel super special, especially because, you know, again, if it's your mom and you're her kiddo, like, that's going to mean so much to her if you plan something that's not just fun, but something that's like really sentimental and lovely.
Oh, another thing with the little spa day thing, you could get like, everyone could get matching slippers or cute little matching like terry robes. Like, it doesn't have to be tacky or anything. Like, it would be a cute little
moment. If she is tacky, push the tacky. I mean, I love that. I love a mom who wants, like, you know, all the bling on everything and like wants to be obnoxious. Yes. I love that.
Yes.
I think that's such a fun idea. I want to do a bachelorette party with my mom.
Yeah.
I'm going to push Sylvia to tie the knot. Come on, lady.
Push her.
I'm going to push her.
Do we have one more? Push her. Make her get married.
Make her get married.
Want to do one more question?
Let's hold on. Let me see.
Let's do a really fun one. I was going to ask a more heavy one, but lastly, let's just do a fun honeymoon one.
Ooh, fun.
Where to honeymoon in the U.S.? Oh, okay. Let's assume this person's just like in the mid. Let's just assume they're like in Michigan.
Well, I really enjoy a honeymoon that is dynamic. I don't want all romance. I don't want all adventure. So I do like the idea.
I don't know why I started giggling. I started giggling because I was like, I feel like Jess is gonna be one of her favorite three places.
Seriously, I would be like, so I'm going to give you my exact hotel that I like to go to every time in Palm Springs. I wouldn't hate that at all. I feel like I like the idea of like, let's just say you're gone for like 10 days, like making it kind of like a half and half situation, right? So there's like, I like the idea of starting a honeymoon off slow, ramping it up a little bit and then slowing it down, right?
Okay.
Because
easing like, in and out.
Exactly. So like maybe
just like sex.
Exactly. So maybe something like, let's just say you're in California and you're like, okay we're gonna keep it like it local or whatever. If you are maybe starting it out like going to Sonoma or Napa and like having a very romantic time doing wineries or just like the atmosphere, hot air balloon energy. And then from there, you're like, let's rent a car and like go to Big Sur and go, you know, hiking and then stay by the water. Mm-hmm. I love that. I like also the idea of honeymoons either where it's like tropical or dreary.
One of the other cold mm-hmm. or the extreme. So either wear a lot of clothes and you're all bundled up or wearing nothing at all.
Yes. So like when Evan and I went to Italy, we went when it was chilly. So like we were like in pea coats the whole time walking around the city. And it was just fantastic because I was like, okay, like it's dreary. It's chilly. Romantic, that feels very cozy. Romantic. Not like I'm not freezing. There's not snow, but
not Alaska,
but I'm chilly and it felt romantic.
Okay, wait. So what were you saying about California? You said you start.
Oh, no. I was saying something like starting with like Sonoma or Napa and then like going to like Big Sur and doing more like, you know, hiking and adventuring. And then maybe your last day staying like in a cute little like bed and breakfast or the last day or two to kind of then like slow down and get an easier way back into your new life together.
I do think it's a fun idea actually to stay in more than one place, like a more than one hotel or Airbnb. But save the most expensive, luxurious place for like the last couple nights or the last night or two.
Yes.
So you sort of round it out with something special, you know, like maybe the last night or two, if you're on a budget, is like, you know, you're like staying at like the Ritz-Carlton in San Francisco. Or, you know, it's like something that you end it out with a little bit of luxury where you guys maybe do like a spa day the day before the end.
I love that.
Of your trip, I think is kind of fun. So it's like something to sort of look forward to on your honeymoon.
Yeah, I think it's romantic to like I said, having it be dynamic and not if you're in just one place the whole time. I feel like sometimes if you're in one location, sometimes the arguments can start. Sometimes you can get a little stir crazy, a little bit of the post-wedding blues. And if you're moving a little more and you're going to like, you know, two plus locations, it keeps it exciting and the atmosphere is changing.
Now, one of my, I think a good spot, especially for people who are out of state, Central California is not as expensive, but there's still a lot to do. So you could do wine tasting in like Napa, but that could be really expensive. I would recommend wine tasting in like Arroyo Grande area, that's like Central California. And you could do little shops downtown in San Luis Obispo. You can go to the beach in Avila. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I grew up. There's like the Avila Barn. We can get like get pies.
I love Avila.
And I think we used to have a house in Avila. We used to have a house now.
Oh, my Lord.
Well, yeah, Fresno's like 2 hours away from there. So that's like my second home. My best friends used to live there. And anyway, but that Central California area is much less expensive than other areas of California while still getting this ambience of beach, wine tasting, little shops.
Nature. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful.
That's my
tip. I like... I like the idea, too, of doing something like maybe starting in... like Seattle and staying at like a cool hotel in Seattle and walking around and getting your energy out or whatever. And then taking a little ferry, there's like little islands off of the coast, like There's this little island called Whidbey, I think. And there's like two tiny B&Bs there that are right like on, it's always dreary there. And there's like, it's like right on all the pebbles with like the, that gorgeous coast. And you could stay somewhere like that. And then it's super romantic and
depends quiet. On your vibe, of course. Because then there's like Florida, you know, there's Miami. Yes. You could do for like a more and more tropical vibe while still in the States.
Mm-hmm. You could go and go to Tennessee and stay like on a ranch, or to Montana. Ooh. Go to Montana and stay at a ranch in Montana. I'm sure you could find a really cool Airbnb out there.
There's some really cool ones that are fairly inexpensive.
Yeah.
Of course, then what are you going to do when you get there? Granted, but I think a hot springs destination is always good. That's what I recommend.
Love.
If you can actually stay on like a little hot springs resort somewhere, that is a really fun.
Or you're like, let's hit up New York and get a bunch of the nightlife in, if that's more of your thing.
There's a tree resort in Oregon. It's called the Tree Resort. It's a treehouse resort. And they have some more luxurious tree houses at that resort.
That's very cool.
Of course, with Airbnb now, you can literally type in, I think, like treehouse, or like click on unique stays on Airbnb.
I like the idea. I love the beach on the East Coast. Again, dreary. My brain goes dreary. But even during the summer, like there's so many like great places that you could go, like that's more beachy, like more like North Carolina, South Carolina, like on the coast.
Lake Tahoe is a great one.
Lake Tahoe is really great.
That's a great honeymoon spot in particular, mm-hmm. I feel like. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Very romantic, lots of activities to do.
I would say this, something that I would highly recommend wherever you go. I know that you're probably feeling busy with the wedding, but the honeymoon is so much fun. I believe putting planning into the honeymoon is worth it, rather than just showing up somewhere and being like, we can find out cool places. Like, I recommend doing your research, making reservations at cool spots beforehand, taking advantage of your time so that you don't just get there and then kind of like wander around to try to find a spot. Like, sure, have your day where you're like wandering and
you don't
want,
like, you don't have a first fight after you get married, be like, where are you gonna eat or something?
No,
like
exactly
that.
Just like have it like you can, you know, make open table, you can make a reservation anywhere. It's very easy to make a reservation. Just have those like in the back pocket in case you need them. Find like cool local things to do in the area beforehand and like be prepared.
Honeymoon?
Ooh,
in like Colorado.
Ooh, that's a good vibe. That's a very good vibe. There's plenty. But if you put a little bit of planning into it, I feel like you avoid feeling antsy or bored or potential arguments, and you can just have like an incredible time together.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait for now. That's what I want to do. I want to do like, I want to get married because we'll get married New Year's Eve and then like go to Vail for like a week or something like that.
Oh my gosh. That would be incredible.
But there's so many places to go. Mm-hmm. We could go to Paris. We could go anywhere. Darling.
Oh my God, the Europe honeymoon.
I know, but then back. I'm like, I want it all, right? Because I'm like, ugh, we could go to Paris, or we could go to like Mexico, or like Central America, where it's going to be like so warm in January, you know?
Go to like Costa Rica. Oof. Yeah, I mean, I'm a sucker for a European honeymoon. That was what I wanted, and I loved it. And that's where, if we have our 10-year wedding celebration, I want to go back to Europe for the honeymoon.
Sounds great.
I just like walking around on like the cobblestone and like going in the morning and getting a cappuccino and then like walking and seeing history, and it all smells lovely. And
and shopping at the same stores they have in the States, but it's in Paris. Exactly. So it's more romantic.
Exactly. Oh my God. I never buy
anything.
Oh my God.
Let's go into this. Oh my God. Let's go into this Zara.
Oh my God. What is this?
The Coach
it
store?
It feels different here. Something feels different about it. Like, yeah, you're going and eating it. I mean, I will say though, the McDonald's like overseas, they're just better. Well, that was lovely. Those were some fun questions. Broads, thank you for sending them in. Hope that some of these things were helpful. If Becca and I ever end this podcast, maybe we'll start a wedding planning business.
Virtual consultants.
Yes, I was gonna say
we won't actually plan anything, but you can ask our opinions.
Yeah, you can ask your opinion. As far as the output goes, I'm not great, but like we can throw around ideas. The actual
send
planning
your
part,
wedding planner to us for good ideas.
Yeah, that's fine. You can send them our way, but the actual output of it is gonna
dealing
be a
with
no
caterers and stuff like that. Oh God, we're
oh, I just get too stressed. I just get too much anxiety over.
They'd be
all
like,
it.
So, like, did you follow up? And I'd be like, I never actually called in the first place. I don't know
I
how to tell
I
you
said
that.
I was gonna send that email, but I forgot.
I've had a lot on my plate, honestly.
You know how kids can be.
Little ones running around, you know.
Anyways. Well, broads, we love ya. And we'll chat soon.